You can turn to Psalm chapter 119, verse 137 through 144. I'm going to just, and I think it's called Tsade. I put in there Sade, like, because I can't do the T and the S together, but Tsade is the name and the letter of this alphabet. And so I'm just going to pray it over us, and then we'll just kind of dive into it. So, righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your rules. You have appointed your testimonies in righteousness and in all faithfulness. My zeal consumes me because my foes forget your words. Your promise is well tried, and your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law is true. Trouble and anguish have found me out, but your commands are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may have life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Mo and I have this Christmas CD that we listen to every year, and it's from a book that my mom read. I only remember it like in the latter parts of our growing up, but we read it a couple different years that my mom read to us as Christmas, and then she found it on tape and gave it to us, and it's Max Lucado's Cosmic Christmas. Have any of you ever read that or heard that? Yeah, okay, so yeah, of course my mom has. It's a story of angels that are bringing the seed that would become Jesus to earth. And along the way, they encounter all sorts of demons and cosmic powers that are trying to stop them from delivering Jesus to earth. And then they go and they seek out Mary and Joseph. They speak to him, and then they protect Mary as she's on her way to Bethlehem. And I'm pretty sure it's not biblically accurate. I'm pretty sure about that. But it is interesting, and it's fun. It's entertaining. We like getting into it. And it's beautiful. I've been thinking about Christmas this year. I've been trying to like start play Christmas songs, and I want to make sure that for Advent we're ready. And so I've been thinking about Advent and Christmas this year and cosmic Christmas, but in large part it has to do with where we're at in this psalm, where we're at here in Psalm 119. Verse 144 says, your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. And in Cosmic Christmas, there's this moment when I think it's God speaks. He simply uses the word life. And the narrator does a good job of making it dramatic. And he just says, life. He speaks life into Mary's womb, and it is filled with Jesus. Just this idea of life. The place where we find life in Christ, Christ's life was spoken into existence by a good father who knows that we need a savior. And just this idea, a lot of my prayers this week were actually just that word, life. Life. And I felt kind of weird praying it, but I just was like, life. I want life for me. I want life for you. I want life for this church. And here we get into it in this psalm, and it's life. And life here in this section, in Psalm 119, is it what's at stake? If you think of the Psalms and you think about how far we've gone in the Psalms, but even in Psalm 119, over and over again, you have, because my foes forget your words. You have enemies that come in. I am small and despised. By who? By these people that are outside pressing in on this person's life, that trouble and anguish have found me out. And so here we have this prayer, this person, through the entirety of Psalm 119, praying for life. If testimonies and laws and way and all those kind of things are what this psalm is about, the sub-theme is life, and life lived to the full. And it's not all of life is about life and death. So it's not like, help me God, I might die, but help me God, I don't know how to live right now. I know that I'm not going to die, but Jesus cares about not only our life and our death, but he cares about how we live. And it's one reason why we pay attention to our soul, because our souls, as they're found in Christ, long for us to live, right? How many of you guys think that you could live differently, better, more abundantly, more like saturated with Christ in your life? It's our souls are crying out. Because Jesus came to give us life, right? And not just life like barely living life, but life abundantly, a full life. And this full life seems to be what is at stake in this psalm. The life of the one who is praying this, the entirety of Psalm 119. And when I say abundant life, I'm not talking about material goods or making sure that you have steak every night or a bottle of wine or anything like that. Or I'm not talking about even like rich experiences. All those things can be a part of a full life. But what I'm talking about is following God wherever he would take you, wherever he would lead you, wherever he would guide you, and trusting him in those moments. Trusting him in the good times and in the bad times. In fact, life is prayed for 12 times directly in Psalm 119. 12 times. And it's a desire of this prayer that that life is, it's not just thought about, it's not just prayed about, but it's lived. That we actually walk this thing out. A life, it is prayed for, and we pray that God will fill it with his light and his life. And this life that we have is even as Psalm 1 starts us off on a path of the Psalms, this continues us on the path that God has for us. And by the way, that's a path that is different than evil ways. Amen? And there are different ways to live this life, but the full life that Jesus has for us is just one that's lived for him and where we follow him and keep on those tracks. There are those who desire to keep God's commandments, right? To keep his ways, which Jesus summed up by saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus summed that up. There's some that we long to do that. We want to do that. And then there are those who don't live for God's commandments and don't give a rip what he says, if they even think he exists. There's some truth to that, right? And there's lots of variations in between there. But we pray so that we might not walk in our own understanding, right? Not just in what we know, but that we might have the humility to walk in a way that is not our way. That is not naturally what we would do on our own, but one that is following Christ. That's why over and over and over again in this prayer, we need more of his rules, his principles, his commands, his testimonies, his laws. We need to dive deeper and deeper and deeper into this life that Jesus provided for us, that he's given us. And it appears, according to Psalm 119, that the life of our soul depends on these rules and these laws and these ways and these testimonies that God has provided for us. A life truly lived according to God's ways feeds on these things, devours them, eats them up, lives on them. Right? Last week, our eyes are like fading away if we don't have them. We're straining our eyes to see these things. And I say it this way a lot in church. We want to live the Jesus life, right? The Jesus life, the Jesus way. The Jesus life lives like Christ, lives like Jesus, walks like Jesus, acts like Jesus, talks like Jesus. And we find his life most clearly spelled out for us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we can read those, study those, pray those into our lives, like learn about those and pore over them as we learn the Jesus way. But he also does this in the rest of Scripture, right? I think the Psalms have helped me live the Jesus way a lot, I think. That's like suggesting that I'm holier now that after the Psalms than I was when I started. I'm not, according to my wife, and so she's usually right. So, but the whole of the Bible is concerned with our life that is found in God. The whole of the Bible is concerned with this life that we've found in God. And if we live for Jesus, right, or the Jesus way, then our life is hidden in Christ. It's hidden in Christ. People aren't even supposed to see us. They're not supposed to see us because they see Jesus because we live for him. Our whole lives are devoted for him and his purpose. And they are supposed to see Jesus in our actions, our Facebook posts, right? Or Twitter, if that's your thing, right? They're supposed to see Jesus, or maybe even in your lack thereof, for that matter, like, right? They're supposed to see Jesus as you in your actions, in your deeds, at work, with your words, in our motives, in the ways that we treat each other, in the ways that we even treat the earth, in the way that we deal with our money, in the way that we spend our money. All that we do is to reflect Christ. All that we do is to reflect Christ. Now, raise your hands if you're living this to the full extent. Yes, I'm the only one. I made it. No, we don't. We mess it up, right? All of us mess it up. We are in danger at times of losing life. Not like life and death, but life to the full that Jesus would have for us as we follow him. I love that we just sung, and I probably planned it intentionally, but prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. I used to think it was prone to wander, Lord, I fear it. Like, because I don't want to wander. But prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love, so here's my heart. Take and seal it. And you know what? Jesus does seal it. He seals it in himself. He seals the deal for us on the cross where he exchanges his life, the one he didn't mess up, the one that's lived in perfection, the one that we can't obtain or measure up to, and he gives it to us. It's amazing. It's unbelievable. And then he takes our life, the one that is messed up, that is broken, that the one where we can't, any of us, raise our hands to walk in this thing perfectly, and he takes that broken one, and Jesus makes us whole in him. We are truly hidden in Christ. And we get to pray for life. Give me understanding that I may live. Give me life according to your promise. Let my soul live, and in that life it will praise you. So please give me life. Give me life. This is the heart of this prayer. Life, life, and more life. The same life that Jesus lived, from the same giver of that perfect life, God the Father, we want God to speak life into us. He did this, right? He spoke life in the beginning of the world, forming the world and all that was in it. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit said life on this beautiful planet. He breathed life into Adam and Eve and thus the rest of humanity and gave us life and this ability to live for him. He gave us his laws and his ways, so he breathed life into the Ten Commandments. We can say that, and all the commandments that he gave to Moses, and the way that he led the children of Israel out of captivity and into the promised land, he gave them life. He was wanting to give them life. He spoke life over the Virgin Mary. He spoke life over the entire life of Christ as he walked with him. He spoke life over the dead body that was laid in a tomb of Jesus Christ, and he called Jesus from the dead, and Jesus rose, bringing us resurrection. And he spoke life when he called your name. He said, hey, follow me. He was not just calling your name, but he was speaking life into you. And he keeps calling it as he allows us to fall deeper and deeper in love with him, as he allows us to walk closer and closer with him. God has a life for us, and it's found in Jesus. Amen? That's why when I thought about the cosmic Christmas, this idea of life. Life. If you guys know the audio, it's just like really dramatic, and it's life. That has been my prayer for this church this week. Not that I think we're dead. I actually really, really, really like this church. I don't think that we're dead, but that we may need the life that is prayed for, that we'll walk it out, that we need Jesus to breathe on us, each and every one of us, each and every day, and lead us and guide us and give us life as we just simply walk with him. I love this idea of my zeal consumes me. My zeal consumes me. I love it because, you know, over the years, like working with addicts, and I don't know, I was addicted to tobacco for a long time, but you know what? That desire for tobacco consumed me. I always had money for it, even when I had no money, because it consumed me. That's what happens in addiction. I always found a way to make it happen, and it happened time and time again because it consumed me. If zeal for God's ways is to consume us, this means that it'll take up a lot of our headspace, all of our heart space. It'll take up our whole life. Our whole life. And that doesn't mean that we ignore our kids, right? I'm sorry, I'm worshiping the Lord right now, kids. Deal with it yourself, you know? It doesn't mean that we take our Bibles to work and ignore work and say, no, I'm just fully devoted to Christ right now. That's going to have to manage itself. It doesn't mean that that we ignore things or we use God as an excuse to do whatever we want. No, in all that we do, we let Jesus be our motivation because we are zealous to see the life that Jesus has provided for us play out as we live for Him. Amen? And we get to just keep walking that over and over and over again. Where He's placed us, we get to live this. I love that one commentator put it this way. He said, oh, what a benefit it is to be eaten up with the love and zeal of a good thing. And what's better than Christ? Our life is to be consumed with the ways of Jesus as an addict's like wants to consume whatever it is that they're addicted to. And we say it this way, our life is consumed with the righteousness of God. Righteousness of God. Five times in just this section of the Psalm 119, God's righteousness is mentioned and it's prayed for. And this prayer is concerned is not only with life, but how we live it. And how we live it according to God's righteousness. What I love about it is in this psalm, it's God's righteousness is not new. Right? It's not new. It didn't just show up last week, and it wasn't just brought down with Jesus when he came in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. No, it's been there the entire time. It's not new. It's been there since the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit created this world, and his ways are not only righteous, they are steadfast, and they are sure. And I think that this should give us a little bit of confidence in an ever-shifting world, right? Just in a world that's, I mean, look, I think I'm not on Facebook anymore, and it's been the second most important thing for my spiritual life, I think. Psalms being the first one and getting off Facebook the second. But you can see things on Facebook so quickly. There are new concerns that we're met with all the time, aren't they? I mean, that's in life in general, but let alone with online media, new fears. Right? Something to worry about this week. Worry about this in your schools, in your work, as you walk out the door. And we're given new ways of doing things or new ways of looking at things, right? Like the life hacks and all that kind of stuff. And some of them are great. But we're given, think of the Democratic debate, we're given new politicians and new governments all the time. Not only here, but in other parts of the world. But you know what doesn't change? God. He never changes. All that stuff going on, his standard is the same, his love is the same, and his ways are the same. He doesn't change. And it takes a moment, as we take a moment and pay attention to righteousness, right living, we see what righteousness is. Simply put, it's this. It's the right way. That's what righteousness is. It's the right way. Or other definitions would be like the standard of all of life or the way to live, doing things correctly. And in this, we don't bend what is right to fit the way that we see the world. We long to see the world as God sees it. We are the ones who need to change. Our feelings are as shifting as the sands, right? They are shifting, whereas God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God's judgments or rulings are righteous and true and just. His ways are straight where other ways are crooked. We want to live this way, the straight way. We want to strive and fall, and we strive nonetheless as we learn to lean on God's grace given to us in Christ. We are striving to live in His ways. It's not just the world's ways that we don't follow, right? And I think about all the world's ways that we don't follow, but it's also our own, because there's a lot of times we just think that we're the smartest people in the room, right? Or the best, or maybe not the best, but a lot of times we just like to do things our own way. instead of God's ways. And so sometimes we need to not only not follow what the world's doing, but maybe not follow our heart that's not yielded to Christ. That's why we need humility as we fix our eyes on Jesus and walk with him. I love that God's righteousness is a really high standard, but none of us can meet it. Actually, it frees me up. It frees me up to know that we can't actually obtain it, but we keep trying. And yet, at the same time, I think this is why I'm so glad that we can't obtain it and that it's so high, because Jesus has met it for us, right? Because on our own, we'd be in trouble. That's why we need Christ day in and day out, moment in and moment out. We have a high standard that we strive for, a high standard of love and grace and justice and righteousness, and it's not that easy. And that's why Jesus is so amazing. Well, it's one reason. There are about a trillion, but one reason why Jesus is amazing. Jesus lives up to the standard that God has set. He does so perfectly. He does so perfectly. He doesn't hoard his righteousness. I think if I had righteousness, I would like just keep it to myself. I don't know if I would dispense it as well and as freely as Jesus did, but Jesus gives it to us. We who are so undeserving, he gives us his righteousness that he's earned through perfect obedience to all the rules that God has. And via the cross, Jesus gives it to us. We are gifted life that comes from his death. And in Christ, we have the righteousness that we need. And not only that, then our righteousness is forever because Jesus is forever. Our sin dies once and for all. And our true life in Christ reigns forever and ever and ever. I think of it like this. Because of the life and righteousness of Jesus, lies die and truth will live forever. All the lies that we believe, we will no longer, one day we will no longer believe, and perfect truth will live forever. And may that day come soon. Amen. May that day come soon. You know what else? Death dies and life lives forever. Not just the once and for all death, like there's nothing certain but death and taxes. Not just that death, but the smaller deaths as well. What about the death of relationships? The death of hopes and dreams? The death of innocence? All of that will die, and life will be what we have and we will lean into forever. Our sin, all of it, even Shane's, will die forever. I just switched it up because he's here today. Will die forever and ever and ever, and our pure holiness will live on. That's what will live on, because that's what's given to us in Christ. Our selfishness will die. And I think about this. We will be able to worship Jesus with abandon and not worry about ourselves or worry about anything else. We'll just be able to worship him because we won't have any of ourself left. We'll just focus. Our focuses will be on him. Our fears gone, drowned in perfect love. Our worries will be seen as small as they actually are, because of the life and righteousness of Jesus. We have life in him. And I think this is why I was praying life. Let's live it. Let's live this Jesus life. Let's strive for it. Even though we can't obtain it, we can walk with it. And God's there as we walk with it. My prayer this week is that we will have life, that God will give life not only to this church, but life to your situation, wherever you're at today, life to your soul, life to your deadness, where some of us sometimes just feel dead in certain areas, and that God may speak life into those areas. And let us pay attention. Let us pay attention to life, the life that God's provided for us in Christ. It's not easy as we get caught up in our week in and week out, but we can pay attention to what God is doing in our life. I was reminded this last week of someone suggested that if I take a sabbatical next year, that I get a spiritual director, somebody who actually is wanting to show you what Jesus is doing in your life. And I don't know all about it, but I'm like, you mean somebody that's like paying attention to my soul? Like, aren't we all supposed to do that day in and day out? So I'm wrestling with that thought. But like, we get to focus on what Christ is doing in our life and live what he has for us. Amen. So I pray, Jesus, that you will give us life. that you'll give us life abundantly, that our life will be hidden in you, that we can strive to live it and walk it out. And Lord, that you will just give us life. In Jesus' name, amen.